Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn,
we sing the praises of Eric Zorn.
Eric Zorn, fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
He's
I always
right.
want to say award-winning columnist. Have you?
I have won awards. In fact, there's so many awards in journalism that any journalist who's not an award-winning journalist by about 10 years into their career is probably not doing their job, like submitting things for
you
awards.
You should win an award.
But you know what we won an award for?
What's
the,
that?
The Mincing Rascals podcast here on WGN+.
Oh, I did
Plus.
Know that. Congratulations.
We won the best local podcast. We won a Lissagore Award. That's it's part of the LIGOT, you know, the Lissagore Emmy, Grammy,
yeah,
Oscar,
Tony.
Yeah, so we have the first leg of the LIGOT.
Some say the hardest.
Well, it's the hardest one to get. The Lissagore Award.
It's like the triple when you're hitting for a cycle.
The Chicago Headline Club.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, that was a while ago.
Where do you keep that award?
Well, you know, on the mantle. Not the mantle. I keep it in the bathroom because I'm so humble, you know.
Don't have it. I'm sure someone...
I don't think there is actually an award.
No.
But if I did have it, I would keep it in the bathroom to show my humility.
That's good to know.
And my humility is on display here because I brought it up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there
it
you
is.
Go.
Good.
So I'm a mass of contradictions this morning.
Once a month, you come by with the best tweets of the month, and it's time.
I do. Every month, every week I put together a contest of tweets that I find online that I think are amusing,
yeah.
And readers vote on them, and the winners publish in the Sunday paper. But then at the end of the month, there are always tweets that didn't win that I think deserve more. Mm-hmm. So I always pick my top 10, and I always debut them right here on the Bill and Wendy Show.
We're honored to have them, Eric.
I love these.
I think this is a good set this month. I think it's a good set every month. Anyway, here we go. And again, there will be a link off the Bill and Wendy Facebook page for the attributions, because it messes up my timing to attribute these, because they're often... you know, the at symbol and some unpronounceable bunch
of
letters.
But it only seems fair if somebody thinks up something brilliant, they should get the credit
absolutely
for it, right?
Absolutely. So these are not mine, but they're very good.
All right.
First one, I just changed my organ donor status so that now all of my organs go to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, even if I'm still alive. Whenever I see a teenager wearing a fedora, I think, that kid's going somewhere, probably into a locker. If your neighbor has wind chimes, you have wind chimes. Mm.
Sorry, people. Sorry, neighbors.
Do you?
They're exactly to the keys of, like, blues music. It's like Chicago blues wind chimes.
Yeah.
My mom got them for me.
Yeah.
And I love them.
That sounds great, actually.
But no neighbor has ever said, mm-mm. Is there any way to turn
and
down
on windy days, I'm telling you, they're pretty loud.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right.
So sorry, neighbors.
So that was written for you, Wendy, that last one.
My insurance is so bad, Dr. Pepper is out of network. To the person who just accused me of asking too many rhetorical questions, how dare you?
Very funny.
That's good.
That is good.
I would love to have a panel of people. Like, you sit down 100 people and you see how many of the 100 get all 10 of these. Because I'm sure there's some that are really funny people. I don't know what that means.
What's a rhetorical question?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, I often think it'd be fun to take the... Well, what I do at the end of the year is I take the best of these top 10. I usually make a list of the top 40 and put those in the paper.
But I
would be interested in getting... This is all my opinion on these things. I would like to get a panel of truly funny people like you guys to vote on those,
thanks.
Too. If you say library instead of library, then we can definitely be friends because I will always feel like the smart one. My dog is such a narcissist, she'll only fetch selfie sticks.
That one's good.
I rescued 16 kids from a cave once. I just didn't make a big deal about it.
Timely. Very timely.
I just need someone else to prevent forest fires for like 10 minutes. And the last one, number 10, is, what if the village people were dyslexic and just trying to tell us how much they liked Macy's?
That may be, that or the wind chime one are my favorites.
Those are good. That last one's funny. By Andrew Nadeau, or Nadeau, from Chicago.
Very, very funny, Andrew.
Chicago people.
Love it.
So that was a good one. Anyway. So what else is going on?
I'd love to talk about Patty Blagojevich with you.
Let's. She was the subject of an editorial in the Sun-Times this morning, I think. They were going after her for the same reason that I went after her on Friday. Last Tuesday, she published an op-ed in the Washington Examiner in which she was talking about how her husband was the victim of the Obama-era Justice Department. And she named checks James Comey, you know, one of Trump's enemies. And it was just clearly this effort to you know, ring the chimes of Trump, because Trump is trying to undo, President Trump is trying to undo everything that Obama did, basically.
Right.
Anything that's associated with Obama, Trump hates it. So Patty Blagojevich writes this op-ed, and then she goes on the Fox News that night and does an interview with them and sort of reiterates these same points, trying, again, to keep raising up the fact that this is Obama's people who are doing this to her. And it turns out that, in fact, Rod Blagojevich was arrested in December of 2008 while George Bush was still president, and that he was prosecuted by Patrick Fitzgerald, who was appointed by Republican administration to be U.S. attorney in the Northern District of Illinois. And one of the things Patty Blagojevich insisted in her comments was that the Justice Department had worked to make sure that Blagojevich got an unfair trial. And, in fact, the judge at that trial, who made a lot of the rulings that the Blagojeviches didn't agree with in the case, was a Ronald Reagan appointee, Judge Zagel.
Yeah.
So you've got this thing where she's just sort of making stuff up. And then she talks about how that one of the things she said on television was, well, they just got this wiretap order because they heard my husband was going to be doing a lot of fundraising in 2008.
Oh.
And if you remember this case, we all remember it really well, but some people might not remember that what happened was Governor Blagojevich was under investigation since about 2003, basically shortly after he got put into office the first time when he was inaugurated. The investigations began into all this hinky stuff that was going on with state boards, with the hospital boards and so on, that Tony Rezko, the corrupt financier, was putting his people on these boards, and these people were then extorting businesses and stuff. It was a very nasty business, and Blagojevich was kind of at the heart of this. So he was under investigation for a long time, and so the proximate cause of his arrest in December of 2008 was that they had secured court orders for him to be wiretapped, and they were in these wiretaps. They were picking up all this talk about how he was going to exploit the power that he then had to appoint a successor to Barack Obama after Obama was elected from the U.S. Senate to the presidency in November of that year. And by law,
selling the seat or trying to sell the seat.
Yeah, sell the seat or peddle the seat or use that power for personal gain.
Yeah.
And so they were picking up all this chatter, and they arrested him because they were worried that he was going to do what he ended up doing anyway, which is appoint somebody for less than wholesome reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea that these wiretaps were just about fundraising, and then she also says, well, gee, the only thing my husband did wrong was fundraising. This is just political log rolling. She said, the courts recently overturned my husband's the charge about the Senate seat. They overturned those counts because it was just political log rolling. They got rid of those. Well, in fact, the courts did overturn 5 of the, I want to say, 18 counts
that were
against Blagojevich. They overturned them, but it was on a technicality, and the technicality was that there were some things that he was doing that did, the courts felt, fall under the category of log rolling, of just, you do a political favor for me, I'll do a political favor for you. That is, considered to be okay.
Right.
But if you say, I'll do a favor for you and you do a favor for me personally, like you appoint me to a job or you give me a campaign contribution,
that's a problem.
That's a real problem.
Yeah.
So the court said that because the jury instructions were messed up, they conflated things that were legal with illegal, they had the thought, the appellate court did, that you couldn't tell what the jury was going to say about the individual charges that were related to actual crimes. And the federal government decided, well, we're not going to retry Blagojevich on these 5 cases. We already have a 14-year sentence on him, which is a long sentence. And, in fact, this then went back for resentencing, and he didn't get any time taken off of his sentence for the fact that these 5 charges. So the fact that the appellate court did, on narrow grounds, reverse some of these charges wasn't really all that significant. But Patty made it sound like, well, now all that's left is just fundraising. And that really wasn't the case at all. It wasn't just fundraising. It wasn't just political log rolling. It was, it was attempted extortion. He was trying to get money from the children's hospital, from the racetrack owners, and so on, in exchange for campaign contributions. So she was, really, really misleading President Trump, who was the only audience I could imagine for this op-ed that she wrote in her appearance on Fox. She's making this campaign that she's counting on. And my lead talks about, well, how dumb does she think Donald Trump is, that Donald Trump wouldn't do the reading. He wouldn't know about this. He wouldn't understand what really happened here. And the answer is, obviously, she thinks he's really dumb. And my view is that she's probably right about that, in that Trump is not the kind of guy to do the background reading. He's not going to go read, you know, books by John Chase and Jeff Cohen, who wrote the definitive book on Blagojevich. He's not going to go back and read that book. He's not going to go read the trial transcripts or even the
appellate court. Well, he's a notorious non-reader.
He's not a reader. Right. And he's going to hear Patty say, oh, my kids are suffering. And the question, and the final thing that I talked about in this column was that there was a lot of talk right after Rod was arrested that she was going to be indicted as well. Mm-hmm. Because she was had job, the prosecutors alleged in the indictment itself of Blagojevich, that Patty had a no-show job for Tony Rezko. She was being paid $12,000 a month for, you know, consulting services as a real estate agent, and she wasn't doing any work for it. And indeed, someone testified at the trial that he had to add money onto some sort of a deal so that she could be paid a commission for work that he said that she never did. So arguably, she was really part of it. She was also caught on tape egging Rod on in this scheme that he had where he wanted to have the Tribune editorial board fired because the editorial board had raised the possibility he should be impeached. Mm-hmm. He wanted, and this was when Tribune Company owned the Cubs and owned Wrigley Field and was trying to get some Illinois State Finance, Sports Finance Authority money to rehab or sell Wrigley Field. I can't remember what they were looking for state money. The Tribune Company was looking for state money having to do with the Cubs, and Blagojevich said, well, I'm going to have them fire the editorial board.
Yeah, makes sense.
As weird as our ownership was back then, the ownership would have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But you heard Patty egging Rod on in the background. So, you know, arguably, she is not this innocent person who's just like, well, I was just, you know, at home raising my children, and my husband was out doing Lord knows what, and now our family's been ruined. She was involved in this. And again, the prosecutors are the ones who alleged this, that she had these no-show jobs. So that when you add all this up, it's like, you know, this family, these people are just, you know, they're misrepresenting what happened here. They're trying to pull the wool over Donald Trump's eyes. I think it's going to work. I think the guy's going to be home by Christmas. And you know, all you know, said and done, he's been in prison for like more than 6 years now. Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
It's not going to be, you know, the biggest injustice in the world if his sentence gets commuted and he gets to go home, as long as he just shuts up.
And you believe Trump will do just that?
I think
he
will. Oh,
I'm surprised he hasn't done it sooner. Like, it was talked about and then it kind of went away.
Yeah. He's probably looking for a time when he needs a shiny distraction.
Oh,
right?
Maybe. Yeah.
And he's going to need some Wag shiny the distractions blog. Coming in coming in soon. So I think that's true. So, yeah, I went after Patty and you know, I do feel bad for her kids, but
all right, hold that thought. So more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Award-winning, we just found out. Stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We've got our weekly visit from Tribune columnist Eric Zorn. Eric, talk to me.
Eric just held up a sign. Oh, award-winning.
I'm
you
here.
Left out
oh,
award-winning.
Yeah. Darn it, sorry.
Eric, well, I called earlier to ask if you'd please add that to
yes,
the
it's in.
So it's just
in.
The nicest thing it's you absolutely could possibly in. Do.
You just you purged something at your house. I find this fascinating.
I did. Well, just earlier in July, I went down to Pittsburgh, and we went through my mother-in-law's house. She's 89. She had to move out of the house where she raised her kids for 60 years. Mm. And we had to clean it out because she'd moved into a much smaller apartment, dealing with her, you know, her health issues and so on at that age. And it was just amazing how much stuff we found that she had kept. So when we came back home, Johanna and I, we decided we were going to make sure that we didn't leave our children with such a big job. And I have to say that Johanna's mom is not a hoarder. She's not someone, you know, you wouldn't have gone to the house and go, what's with this woman? She was perfectly,
you just accumulate
60
things.
Years worth of stuff, you know, in closets and so. And so one of the things that I decided to do just over the weekend was to go through all the electronics in our house. We have a TV that was on our bureau in our bedroom that I've had since 1985.
Wow.
Does it work?
It still worked. Yeah. It was one of the old analog ones. You had to get the little digital converter for it.
Yes.
But we never watched it, and it was like a little, it was a Sony Trinitron. Remember when that was like the name in TVs? But I don't think we had it turned it on in like 6 years or something like that.
And it only shows Night Court. That's the only thing you can watch on it.
Yeah. So we took, that was just one of the things. We went through when we have all these old cords and adapters to things that I don't know what they
right.
connect to. And we have old cell phones, old MP3 players, monitors, VHS machines, cassette decks, little what are they called? CD players, sure. Little boom boxes. So
and probably all throughout the house, not in one specific
everywhere,
place. Everywhere,
in the basement, every level of the house, we had things that we just no longer use. And we didn't even get all of it. Actually, I got most of it. Put filled up the back of our SUV with this stuff.
There's a ton of stuff.
Well, you have. I mean, you think about how much stuff you end up accumulating. All these cords, right?
I have bags full of cords.
Right, and you think the cords will come with a device or a charging thing, and you realize you have it already, so you don't need that cord. But you might need that cord, so you save it. I've got all these phone cords.
Yeah,
the little phone connector cords.
But new TVs don't come with an HDMI cord.
They don't
that kills
anymore.
Me.
No. Wait, but you wouldn't have that.
No,
you wouldn't
just
have
RCA.
That in your collection. In your collection, you'd have some. You have some old, thing connecting to rabbit ears,
right?
Or something,
right, right.
Which we threw out some rabbit ears too.
You should have donated this to a museum.
So I was like, weird, because I feel like we're not hoarders, but we are practical people. We think, well, maybe someday we will need this cord. Maybe we'll need this power adapter. Those little bricks.
Yeah,
change it from 9 volts to.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have all these cords, all these old phones, all these old. We had like a house intercom.
And you can't just put that out for the garbage.
You're not supposed to put it out for the garbage. You can't, because it does have, I think, some toxic material in it. It also has some valuable material in it, too, some copper and other stuff, too. But it turns out that Staples, the office supply store,
they'll take it?
They will take it for nothing. And they actually thanked me. I brought it in and I wheeled it in. They said, oh, look at all these things. Thank you. And I said, no, thank
Why
you.
Why were they so happy to have
I
this?
I don't know.
Because people need to recycle it. And I think a lot has to do with the batteries. You can't just, they can't go into a landfill. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, and I think with the cathode ray tube.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the cords I could have just thrown
out.
Yeah,
those you can.
And the city also has a program where you can recycle toxic stuff like that and paint and everything else.
What about big computers, Eric? I've got two old, very large computers, and we had a computer expert on and said, you can't just get rid of it because your information is in there.
Well there are. I had that issue too. I saved. This is why I didn't get rid of all of it. I had two substantial old computers and a bunch of hard drives that I'd pulled out, and I didn't know what to do with them because one of them was. Like, here's a backup from 2008. This is one of the last time I used it. Well, I hadn't even thought about this thing for 10 years. I don't know what's on it, but it's going to be material that when I get a new computer, I usually take the files and move it. I keep advancing the generation. And the storage gets bigger and bigger, so you can do that. But I've got them, and you're right. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe someone can call in, or that can be maybe next week someone can talk about it.
No, I'm just going to go through
your
computer.
I have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Going to just see bid sheets on eBay for toys.
It's valuable information.
Good stuff to know. Look what Bill paid for this. But, the temptation is to, like, take a sledgehammer, right, and break your...
Oh.
But there must be a better way.
I hope there is,
Pass it through a huge magnet or something.
I don't know.
That would make all the ones and zeros into zeros.
If somebody knows, please, we don't have time to discuss it further, but text us and we'll pick this up next week, because I'm curious.
Yeah. It feels like Johanna was saying something like, look, the TV is gone from our bureau. This is like, it's like a new room.
Right.
It feels like there's so much more room.
We have twice the size now.
It had been sitting like this huge paperweight for so long. And we didn't even see it after a while.
It feels good to purge.
It really does. So we're doing this. We're doing this with electronics. We did it with books. We're going to do it with CDs. I mean, I got so many CDs that I never.
You're just going to get rid of them?
I'm going to get rid of them.
Oh, go to half-price books and try and sell some of them back.
Oh, the CDs, we already took a bunch of CDs
to Goodwill.
We took it to the John Brown White Elephant store.
Okay.
Up on Clark.
Albums, though, I can't throw those out.
No, it's too hard. Yeah. It's way too hard.
You see, you guys are hoarders. I can.
Yeah.
Now you're busted.
I know.
So
thank you for
your
that.
Your kids are going to go, remember when Dad and Mom on the radio were saying this?
My kids are hoarders, too.
Yep.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric Zorn of the Tribune.